Greetings and salutations, Hempsters. Thanks for tuning in to another Hempisode of Hemp Aware Radio. This is your Hemptrepreneurial host, Tyler Hemp, here to empower your Hemposphere as usual. And today I have a unique international hemp guest on the show that I'm really excited to introduce you to. It's just a nostalgic feeling bringing me back to when I traveled through France and England and Germany and Spain and Netherlands and all those fun places. I didn't make it to where our guest is from today, but that's why I'm really excited to have her on the show. The company is Mossa Garden. This is a thriving organic family farm based in Vebrod, Sweden. And they have roots going back to like 1811 during Sweden's great land reform. And since 1985, the Olsen family has farmed this land organically, cultivating a rich variety of vegetables and root crops and grains. And in 2005, my special guest, Ebba Maria Olsen, who's actually the daughter of the founders of this farm, Marianne and Bengt Olsen, her parents, she took the reins over as the CEO of Mossa Garden Eco. And under Ebba Maria's leadership, the farm has expanded to include a farm shop, direct delivery of organic produce to schools and businesses in the local areas, and one of Sweden's first online vegetable box services company. And so it was launched by Ebba Maria as early as 1998. And today, Mossa Garden continues to grow as a model of sustainability and innovation, offering a wide range of organic goods through their online eco shop, while maintaining its family-driven, community-oriented roots. And one of their biggest sellers is a hemp product line, and they crush their own hemp seeds, they grow their own hemp, and it's just such an inspiring story. So I wanted to introduce you all to Ebba Maria and share her story and what she's doing to make it hempin' in the world. So thanks, Ebba Maria, for being here. I really appreciate your presence.
Yay! Wow! What a beautiful introduction.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, tell us a little bit more about kind of your roots and what it was like growing up on this farm with your family and when you took it over. Just can you give us a brief kind of overview of what that was like?
Yeah, of course. We are five siblings. So I'm the youngest in the family. And well, my parents are very early decided that we would only grow organic when we moved to Mossa Garden in 1981. And so we kids could always run around in the farm and on the fields and try the harvest and enjoy ourselves together with our parents in this farming area. And I think that also made a statement in my life that I want to work in the line of what nature can cope with and to do everything in synergies. I'm very grateful for my parents for doing this childhood journey with me, together with everything that we were growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so moving there in 1981, just like infused into your subconscious the importance of living an organic lifestyle.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And also doing things together as a family. So
right. Mm-hmm. And so at what point did hemp get introduced into your life? Like where did hemp come into the equation?
Yeah, so my father has always been a little bit innovative about what he wanted to farm and how he wanted to sell his product. So they started, my parents started early to sell directly to schools and had also had special contracts with the region and the state around that. And I started this subscription of fruit and veggie boxes because I wanted a straight channel between my parents and other organic farms harvest and to the consumer. Also because our land is and our farm is pretty close to some of the biggest cities in Sweden. So I thought that would be a great opportunity. My father continued to just try some new growings every year and he figured out a little bit about hemp and thought that was interesting. So in 2007, we planted the first seeds in the ground. And that was actually after I took over the farm because I took it over 2004. But he continued to work within the company for many, many years after. And he's still a big supporter of our development. So in 2007, we put the seeds in the ground. In 2008, we had the Mossagården Festival. It's a festival to celebrate the organic methods. And there was hemp, one of the most important plants to show. So even just 1 year after, we did a big, massive hemp maze within this festival. It's also connected with a lot of music and chill activities and dancing and like things like that. Because we wanted the good vibes of live music to embrace the whole place and create a movement around how we can create the future and the landscape and the climate that we want to see in the future. And so that's why the hemp maze was so important to reconnect people to both nature, but also to our food and to what hemp can do for us as humans.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. So this was in 2007, you guys planted the first hemp seeds. Where did you get the seeds from back then?
Back then, it was actually a Swedish company that sold the hemp seeds, but it was very, very expensive to buy the seeds in Sweden. So now we more buy seeds from France or from Germany, or also from Poland and Latvia. So it's cheaper than buying from the Swedish companies. And you can't put your seeds again in the ground. You have to buy these certified seeds. It's overregulated, but we know everything about that.
And just to touch on that a little bit further, so what you're saying is there's a non-propagation agreement attached to the seeds that you purchase. So you can't actually harvest your seeds and then replant them. You have to order more seeds and put those in the ground, right?
Exactly. We can't reseed them again.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good thing, because that you can do with other, like growing oat or rye or anything. You can use your own seeds that you harvest. You can't that with hemp.
Yeah. And is that more of a governmental regulation, or is that more of a breeder limitation? Is it the breeder that's putting that limitation, or is it the governments that are making you have to go back to the supplier?
And we are following the rules within the EU. So it's European regulations for the countries that is within the EU. But I would say it's also because the hemp is pretty much alive. You can't really control the levels of the cannabinoids and THC, especially when you're not bought from a special company that sells seeds that is certified. Yeah, it's just a thing of control. And also that I think the plant wants to increase the amount of THC every year, because plants are clever. It's just humans that want to control
the limitations.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the reason the EU government is doing this is to stabilize the level of THC that are in the plants. And if you were to repropagate on your own, the plant is naturally going to start increasing the cannabinoid levels and the THC, because that's what it naturally wants to do.
Exactly, because it's also the plant's own safety system. So THC is a good thing, within all the other cannabinoids in the plant.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So getting into what you focus on, because you guys don't really focus on the cannabinoid side of things. You're more on the nutritional side of things with Mossagården, right? So can you talk to us a little bit about your product line and what some of the most popular sellers are, what you enjoy making when it comes to the hemp seed products?
Yeah, so we started actually to grow for the construction industry. So we harvested the stem, and then we were just thinking, so why are all these seeds just falling through the ground every year? So can't we use them? And then we started to actually harvest both the stem and the seeds. So we harvest the seeds in autumn, and then we leave the stem for the whole winter to dry. And then we spring harvest the dried stem, or also for construction industry. But for the food industry, with the hemp seed, we started to press the hemp oil. So we are not, as I said, we're not really using the flower and the buds for example, making tea or other healthy products around that. But that is also because we have extra limitation around the flower in Sweden that we don't see in other countries where the industry of hemp is legitimized. But there is a movement going around that too. So you can also start a company that is just abroad and import your own products. So there is regulations around it. I just been focusing on the legal part in Sweden, because it just has been easiest for us, because we also do other things, and we have worked a lot to get the stigma away from the hemp industry in Sweden, and I put in a lot of energy into it. I don't have to be so in lead of the flower and the bud issues in Sweden, because there is a movement and there will be a solution around it. So I can just relax and focus on my hemp seed products, because it's just easier for us in Sweden. And there's a lot of nutrition in that product too, as you say. So we started with the hemp oil. And then, of course, we have the whole hemp seeds, the raw hemp seeds, but then we also have peeled hemp seeds. And from that, you can do a lot of more products, I would say. So we started with the cheese, the hemp cheese, and then we continue with the ice cream. And with ice cream, we also have carrots. So it's a hemp carrot ice cream. So, and we do like That's the product fun. A lot.
Awesome. So, yeah. I haven't heard the shelled hemp seed referred to as peeled hemp seeds. I love that terminology. It's a new term. Yeah. I've been in the hemp industry over 20 years and I haven't heard peeled hemp seeds. That's pretty cool. So yeah. Usually they're referred to as, like, in the US, hulled hemp seeds or shelled hemp seeds or de-hulled hemp seeds or hemp hearts. Now I can add peeled hemp seeds to that list. Well, you mentioned briefly sort of the stigma around hemp. And obviously this is something that has been going on for ages around the world. What is the cultural environment and the perception of hemp, both from a civilian standpoint and consumers, but also regulatory governmental bodies? How do they perceive hemp, like, as of recent, with all this work that you've done to raise awareness?
Yeah, there is a big interest now. We competed a lot with the hemp also to make interest for it in Sweden. So we were in the Eat Stockholm company. Stockholm is the main capital of Sweden. So the Eat Stockholm is the biggest one of the biggest food competitions that you can join. And then we were with the hemp pizza cheese, because we have three cheeses with hemp. That is the cream cheese and the pizza cheese, and just the cheese that you can just use on bread. And also, like, there's more like you can peel it more to put in, like, I don't know how to tell it in English, but you use it with this
spread.
Yeah, no, it's not a spread. It's a hard cheese.
Okay. But you can like crumble.
Yeah, you in Sweden we have this special tool for it that you make these pieces that you put on there,
like
on the
grating bread. It.
Yeah, I think you use more a knife to put it into. Okay. Hard, as we want to say, like shells, but that is not the right word. But
okay. Like,
anyway, so it's for sandwiches.
Sounds delicious. Whatever it is, maybe slicing it, like you slice it into pieces.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. I knew we'd get it.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Well, and so when it comes to shipping your products, not only do you serve the local area, people can come to your shop and purchase these products, but you sell online as well, right?
Yeah, we do. We sell online. It's mossagarden.se. We have, and also .mossagarden.com. We have, our homepage is almost ready for the Guinness Record Book, I think. It's very old. It's 24 years old. And the coding is also
amazing.
Old. But there's a new one coming up. And sometimes it's in this digital world, it's also very nice to be very retro and very old-fashioned.
For sure. Yeah, but it's nostalgic.
No, but so we went to the final in Stockholm with the hemp pizza cheese, and we won actually innovation awards of the Nordic Cooper. Yeah, with the shell, no, not the shell one, the
sliced
one. Yeah,
sliced
one.
Awesome.
And then also we went to the Grüne Woche, that is the Green Week, that is a very big fair, 300,000 foodies visiting in Berlin, that is for 10 days. We've been there both with the hemp cheese and the hemp ice cream. And that is also because the government in Sweden also visits that fair, because they are also organizing it and are paying and putting a lot of energy into it. And also the ambassador of Sweden is there from Germany. And that is also so I can say hello to the leading person of the agriculture in Sweden, but also the leading persons of Sweden overall, because they are coming to the fair. And then I can say, hello, we have hemp ice cream here. So let's try it out. Do you know that you also can give it to animals and that you can this good, valuable protein and that we don't have to grow so much food for animals to eat animals. We can grow hemp and eat it directly as human food. So when it comes from.
So what I get from that is it's being well accepted now, like over the last 30 years of legalization and education and getting it out there, even though there's still a lot of regulation, it's well accepted. And it doesn't sound like there's a lot of negative perception or association to medical marijuana or cannabis and psychoactivity. Like people are educated for the most part and they're comfortable with buying these products and consuming them like they would any other type of produce or grocery item. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would at least say that it's a very high interest of alternative hemp sources. And I wouldn't say that hemp is alternative because it's one of the oldest culture plants that we have. Mm-hmm. But today, since it's been wiped out from the history in Sweden, even though we had a very big industry. I mean, we had a Swedish Vikings that were doing everything with hemp.
And beer.
For sure, it's in our history, but it's wiped out in history books, so stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So now I would say it's alternative because it's a new, it's a restart again.
Right, exactly.
And then there is the interest, but I wouldn't say that it's totally accepted yet within the governmental state. But people are listening. At least they are listening. And if they're listening, there is an interest. If the interest is there, it can bloom out the industry in Sweden any day now, actually.
Mm-hmm. I would say. Yeah. Absolutely.
Then I really want it to be the organic industry around the hemp that is blooming out. So we all can reduce all these chemicals that is used on the fields, the poison, and also the nutrition that is not needed, that we buy a lot from Russia. I want to see a circular system around the hemp, how we use the nutrition, how we use treat the soil, because if the soil is alive, we are alive. And that's very important to work connected with the hemp, because we do see a lot of unnatural chemicals in the Swedish hemp grounds. And that is not something that I support, that kind of growing system that we see a lot in Sweden. So I have still things to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Hemp is a perfect vehicle for educating about the importance of the synergistic and symbiotic relationship that we have with our soil and our environment. And it's one living, breathing organism. Like we're all one life. And so these poisons and chemicals that have been pushed down our throats and sprayed on our foods and land, it's time that the truth comes out. And so I think hemp is one of those biggest vehicles for raising awareness about not just the demonization of hemp, but now the destruction of our soil. It's like, let's bring it all back together. So what, as an entrepreneur, as a hemp entrepreneur, what have been some of the biggest memorable or aha moments that you've had or breakthroughs in your business or with the hemp industry? Like, what are some moments that were just revolutionary or really memorable for you?
But I would say, I think some of the kids that were running in our hemp maze in 2007, you know, they are old now. They have taken an examiner. They are out doing career, but they still talk about this hemp maze and how it was a mind opener for them. And I think that is very important to start in young age to engage the new consumers, the young generation, the generation that we can pet to something, doing something beautiful for the future. Mm-hmm. I think that's very memorable for me to have heard their story, to met hemp for the first time in our festival, music festival. And then to continue in life, just embrace the know-how around how we can use hemp and tell the stories around it, the positive stories.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I think it's essential to have hemp education in every generation. Like raise the awareness and teach the children because they're our future. And if they can see the power of hemp, they're going to be the ambassadors for the next round to keep bringing it to the surface and preserve its quality and integrity and what it can do for food, shelter, clothing, energy, medicine, plastic, and fuel. So yeah. I'm right there with you. As a lover of children and life, like I used to do hemp aware parties back in the day and bring families together and make little hemp dolls and show, you know, how to take hemp twine and make hair for like little, you know, dolls and stuff like that. And just getting the tactile experience, walking through a maze, what a memorable experience. That's so cool. So I think more of that needs to happen. And I appreciate you sharing that memory.
Yeah.
What would you say is one of the most important values that you live by with Mossa Garden as an entrepreneur, a business owner, that you can share with other hemp entrepreneurs or people that might want to start their own business? Like what do you live by, a principle or a value that you would share with other people in this industry?
Yeah, I would say that is so much possibilities to grow hemp just in a small scale and do your own products. I mean, you mentioned some examples, Tyler, and that are so nice because there is so many areas that you can use hemp within. And if you add, I think you mentioned maybe some industries, and there is about 50,000 different products that you can make within those industries. And I guess there is some more we can add to them, to the overall industries. So there is so much potential to do small scale business around hemp with your unique product that you don't really have to invent again. You can just reuse from the history. So what is created from hemp and reuse the information and do your own product around it. Because every small step that we do within the hemp industry and every new product that is talked about and it's launched to consumer, even if it's just in your own neighborhood, it will make impact. And together we can hampify the world. And
exactly.
100%.
We have a campaign called Make Your Hemp Dot, D-O-T. So it's do one thing, hemp, every single day. Put your dot on the map and do one thing with hemp. Whether it's eating some hemp seeds, having some hemp cereal, wearing hemp clothing, no matter what it is, if you can do one thing with hemp every single day, I believe that's going to help us shift our paradigm and live a much healthier, happier, sustainable life together. So you're definitely doing your part. And so what product do you feel that is made from hemp has the most impact on the economic and ecological state of the world? Like making the biggest improvement in our economy and our ecology as a human race and as a planet. What one hemp product or aspect of the plant do you feel is like the number one thing that people should know about?
I think the sensoric experiences, if you talk hemp food, I would say that sensoric experiences around hemp will be the most successful because consumers are not really, they don't want to eat things that is not of high sensoric level.
What is the word you're using? Sensoric?
Sensoric.
What is that word?
So it's when it's appealing to all your senses around.
Okay.
How you consume food and embrace food. Mm-hmm. So I would say, why couldn't the cheese or the ice cream be one of those? Because they are healthy, they're well tasting, and you do consume it normally if it's made from cow. Or I work with a plant-based industry, so I'm not really into the food industry around animals, even though I think it's a detour to feed animals to feed us. I think we can be fed directly from whatever's grown on the field. Hemp is the best, of course. but I also think that to just reduce or take away all the imported soy that is from awful growing situations. So I would say that also hemp can do a good thing, even though it is not my mission to work with the food industry for animals. I work with the food industry to humans, and there I want to do in fact, with well-tasting hemp products, it's also very without sugar and also with high nutritional and combined with other products, it's also next well tasting experience around it. Yeah,
absolutely. So you feel like having hemp as the number one nutritional product in the world is a way for us to create a healthier planet?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Love them.
But within the farming situation, hemp is very loving plant. And I would say, I think it's very lovely, loving at least, and also lovely. Mm-hmm. But humans that is growing the hemp could still be so stupid. And that is something that I think it's hard for me to embrace, that we can use so much stupidity connected with growing the plant, with importing all these chemicals that we talked about before, and the poisons and the oligopol around it, so that some very few companies are selling all the products that's needed for, that farmers think is needed for the fields, but that's very unnatural for the soil to handle. And that's only been in our system since the Second World War. So it's very new for the soil.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we can do a lot to launch more organic and combine with the regenerative methods how to grow the hemp. And there is a lot of know-how to be spread out within the farmers. But I think the consumers is way more ahead there. They know the drill. They know what to buy. Mm-hmm. And so they just want to see the product in the shelves.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And I think that's worth repeating, that hemp can be that sort of leader in the regenerative organic movement to re-nourish our soil and bring it back to what it was 100 plus years ago before the Second World War. Well, thank you so much for being on here. People can go find more out about you, order your products on mosagarden.se. So mosagarden.se, correct?
Yeah, you're so cute. And you know, if you come to Sweden, because we are located in the very south of Sweden, so it's very easy to take the train to us or the boat or even the flight if you use the flight. So, and there we have a hemp central. So we built a hemp barn. We restored a barn totally with hemp that we grow on the fields. And there we can take visitors all year round, every day in the year. And there will be more upcoming hemp festivals at our farm.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to plan a trip with my team to come out there. That sounds so fun.
Yay! We're also looking for people to come and activate themselves within the farm as leaders and as just workaways. And if they want to take a bigger role in to make more impact within Sweden for the hemp industry, then we are creating something new there, a new organization that is extending the one that we have. So
Excellent. Everybody
is welcome to join us.
Wonderful. It's growing organically. I love it.
So my
final question that I would love to leave our listeners with is, if you were on a world stage and you were speaking to every human being on the planet and you could share one thing with them about hemp that you wanted them to know, what would that be?
Well, hemp food really is for life, and power to the organic farmer.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you being here and doing everything that you're doing to carry the hemp torch. Thanks, everyone, for joining into another episode of Hemp Aware Radio. Look forward to having you all on the next one. Thank you, Edna Maria.
Yes, thank you, Tyler. You're beautiful. Thank you. So nice to have me here. Yeah,
awesome.
Thank you.